Hi, I'm Linda von Tolberg, and today I'm joined by Warren McKeesey, a mycologist and CEO of MycoPro, a company cultivating mushrooms using upcycled agricultural waste. Warren was also nominated for South Africa's Top 35 Under 35, a recognition of young professionals driving impact. Hi, Warren. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, how are you? It's a pleasure to be hosted on your show.
So congratulations on, that recognition. What did it mean to you?
It meant a great deal, especially for young and upcoming entrepreneurs. Getting that recognition, it gives you more energy to drive on social change and impact, because I've been going on for so long not getting recognition. And so getting being part of the top 35 actually boosted my confidence and gave me more drive to look for better opportunities.
So what is MycoPro? Are you farming mushrooms in KwaZulu-Natal?
Yes, we grow organic oyster mushrooms. We are mainly based in KwaZulu-Natal, Pietermaritzburg, and we grow them organically without no chemicals. So generally, we just take agricultural waste such as sawdust and bagasse, and we recycle it, make it as a growth medium for these organic mushrooms, and they love it. And we produce great quality mushrooms, sell them in commercial shops. And our spent produce, actually, our spent growth medium is turned into compost. So we're a zero waste business and a carbon neutral business, actually, besides growing organic mushrooms.
Well, that sounds amazing. So who do you supply to?
One of our biggest commercial retailers is the Super Spar Group. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but we supply a few spas in Pietermaritzburg and in the Durban area. We also supply one of the few Asian markets we got booming in KZN. And we also deal with mostly restaurants, those high-end restaurants who appreciate the exotic mushrooms we're growing.
Well, so KwaZulu-Natal, where you are, is hot and humid. So the ideal environment to grow mushroom in, or do you grow them indoors in tunnels?
We're a bit of a mix between low-tech and high-tech. For the growing of mushrooms, we constructed our own DIY tunnel using shade cloths. But the most where we are high-tech is where we make our own spawn instead of sourcing it from other producers. So we do that in-house. But mostly, we're a bit of a mix of low-tech and high-tech. And as you say, it does get a bit hot in the summer and the KZN, and that's where our sprinklers actually run more than usual to maintain the humidity and cool the temperatures down a bit.
So what sparked this interest in mushrooms?
Back in 2020, I remember I was finishing varsity, and I was just thinking what I should do for the next coming years. And I was just sitting, and it was lucky, actually, there was a thunderstorm. And just where I was sitting, pondering my next couple of years to come, I just saw a mushroom out of the ground. Then I started researching about mushrooms in South Africa, only to find it might not be the most profitable business, but it was top three in the most successful businesses in South Africa. And after doing a bit of research, I realized there was no gatekeepers. It was just an open industry for any players who are interested. And it's literally a rabbit hole. Once I started reading, I never stopped. So, but my main driving force was what to do after varsity in a poly crisis we face in our country, where there's such high youth unemployment. And you have a college degree, but you don't know where to put it. So I had to start a business.
And so how did you build the business? How many mushrooms do you produce monthly now?
Oh, when I started, it's actually quite embarrassing. I was producing even less than 10 kgs. Now at the moment, we are a five-time facility, meaning on a monthly basis, we produce fruiting blocks that are 5,000 kgs. When it comes to harvest to the market, we harvest about 300 to 400 kgs per month at the moment. But the aim is to harvest one ton of mushrooms monthly. So we are still engaged in the scaling up process.
What is unique about your mushrooms? Is it because it's kind of high end? It serves the high end of the market?
Well, the uniqueness, especially in the South African landscape, Most of the market is flooded with button mushrooms, the common ones you find on the shops. So the reason they're even called gourmet or exotic mushrooms is because they're specialty mushrooms, and they're a bit harder to grow than the normal button mushrooms. But what makes it unique mostly is the nutritional content in it. For instance, the gray oyster that we grow is actually high in a specific vitamin called selenium. And selenium is a very vital vitamin that helps you when you're fighting against infections of such as HIV and AIDS, especially living in a country where we had such rampant HIV and AIDS epidemic back in the years. So not only it is a high-end market product, but it's highly nutritious, especially in a country where even food security is a problem. And I live in Africa, and we see if we could use mushrooms to actually achieve a lot of social change, besides it being a gourmet crop and like, yes.
Do you find there's resistance in African communities against mushrooms?
Well, what I've noticed, it's a perception that is actually, it's a misleading perception. People think it's more of an expensive commodity, whereas if you look at it in rural areas, you'll find that traditionally there's a practice of going harvesting mushrooms in the mountain or forest. But it's quite strange when it comes to the store on the shop floor. You find people comparing mushrooms as if it's a high-end product, whereas traditionally in the African communities we pick them at home. So I think most of it has gotten to do with that the mushroom itself, when you compare it maybe with the we prefer a kilo of meat to mushrooms, a person would rather buy a kilo of meat to mushrooms. But it is advertised as an expensive commodity, whereas if you look at it, it's actually not, and people are actually used to it. But somehow, when it comes to the market, it seems to be perceived as a high-end commodity.
So, how do you think this could be promoted to the African populations to say that this is highly nutritious? It's almost a substitute for meat.
Yes, it can be promoted. Actually, we believe, if you look at not only in South Africa, Africa as a whole, we have a huge food crisis problem, food scarcity. And if you're looking at the meat production in the world, it will never match up to the food scarcities that it is in the world. So we always try to educate people more. We have a social media page where you can go. We educate people about the health benefits of eating mushrooms versus meat, that some of the mushrooms you grow are actually a good alternative. Like as I said, such as the gray oyster, but also at the white oyster that we grow is a good alternative. So what we do social media campaigns. We interact with people on a daily basis. We join social media groups. We're in groups that are known around the world, trying to share the information. We can switch from meat to mushrooms, and it'll be better on your pocket, actually.
And where would you like to take this company to? What is your dream?
Our dream is actually not only to cover KZN, but to cover the South African market and the SADC region, because we believe mushroom is a crop that is actually left up there. Even the government is not focusing on it. In my country as a whole, there's no even legislation. So we want to build like standards of how to grow this crop in a South African climate. So there's different avenues you want to go. We want to go in terms of market. As I said, we're going to start from the local market, KZN, and take it to South Africa and SADC. So that's the commercial side of it. But on the academic side too, we would like to release some content that can help the young entrepreneurs or aspiring mushroom farmers in the country to find relevant, tested information, because there's no current standard in this country on how to grow mushrooms or any kind in that matter.
This might not be something that you're thinking of now, but there's a growing curiosity about African psychedelic mushrooms, particularly their spiritual and therapeutic applications. I know, is it the Basutu people who have reportedly used them in healing practices? Is this an area that interests you in terms of research or business exploration?
Yes, it is an area of interest. I think you're referring to the psilocybin maluti from Lesotho. the mushroom, the psychedelic mushroom that was recently discovered that has been used for ages. We do have an interest in it, more especially when you talk to when we speak to the psychedelic mushrooms, we want to focus mostly on the mental health side. So the problem in this country is that we have a bit of legislation problems that, in terms of research, we are allowed to grow it in a liquid state form, but when we turn it to make spores, or common name seeds, when you turn it to make spores to try to cultivate it, it becomes problematic without proper licensing. So at the moment, we are only bordering on the edges of research and trying to get licensing to even to do like a certified scientific trials with what certain strains influence what mental disorders or behaviors that we can potentially create a market for in the medicinal space. Because in the medicinal space, there's not only psychedelics. I'm sure you're familiar with your Lion's Mane reishi, but with the psychedelics, we have a legislation problem, but it is an interest that we wanted to explore. If regulations gets better, like in the cannabis industry, we'll definitely explore it to its fullest extent.
Okay, that's interesting. Warren McGee, thank you so much for speaking to us and good luck with the growth of your business.
No, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure to being part of your show, and I hope it goes on to host better and successful businesses.